I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read three different verses. And I'm going to ask you to follow me today. Amen. How many enjoy the weather? Amen. The weather is beautiful. Amen. And I told I told the guys, I said, hey, wear polo shirts because it's about to be in the 80s, 90 degrees. Amen. And how many know that we're working? We don't have AC yet, but we're going to get it. Amen. And keep praying also. Keep praying. I've already been praying. I've been looking for a new church building because how many would love to have a 10:30 service? Wouldn't that be great? Or an 11 o'clock. I say 10:30, but 10:30 would be beautiful. And how many know that we're only here for a little bit? Amen. We're only here for a little while. And then God's going to give us a building. And then we're going to have a church where we can plant our roots and reach families all throughout the city. Amen. And then also, again, I want to encourage you this Friday, make sure that you come out. If you have a heart and you say, I want to take church to the streets, be here at what time? 8 o'clock. We're going to meet here at 8 o'clock, and we're going to go hit the streets. We're going to go invite people to church. We're also going to pray for the people in our city. How many know that we're not a church? We don't believe just in having church in the four walls, right? Somebody came into my neighborhood and told me about Jesus, and that's how I gave my life to the Lord. And today, I'm a pastor because somebody had the heart to go to the streets. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And like I said, we'll take the offering at the end. I feel it's appropriate just to preach now. The Bible says this, verse number 1, and then we'll verses 8 and 10. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. If you go down to verse number 8, it says this, by faith, someone say by faith. By faith. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. He obeyed and went, not knowing where he would go. How many of you would go somewhere if we didn't tell you? Just trust me, you got to pick everything you have, and you got to go to this place. And I promise you when you get there, I'm going to bless you. How many would go? I would ask questions. I would be like, hold on, bro. I'm not going to pick it. Amen? But the Bible says that Abraham obeyed. He picked up everything and he went. Okay, verse number 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner in a country dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. I love how the New Living Translation reads it because it says it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land that he would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. God, I ask that you would speak through me, allow your anointing to fall upon my life. I pray that you would not only inspire us as fathers, but I pray that this word would touch everyone in the room. Teach us, Father, to live a life of legacy. Teach us to live a life thinking of our future, knowing, God, that we're going to make an impact on the people around us. Open our hearts, open our minds. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. You know, the one time a young boy was asked, what does Father's Day mean? What is Father's Day? And the young boy looked at the person, said, Father's Day is a lot like Mother's Day, except you spend a lot less money. Amen. Amen. Again, today I want to acknowledge all of the fathers. And today I'm going to speak to a very simple word, but it's a word that I believe can impact your life. And I want to speak to you about living a life of legacy. Someone say legacy. We're living in a day and age where, they say that 60% of families, this is a heavy statistic, you can look it up yourself, they say 60% of families in the United States are broken. And when they say that 60% of the families are broken in the United States, they say 60%, this is crazy, 60% of families are either living, their children are living with either just the father or just the mother. Amen. And how many know that we're living in a time where we need men of God to stand up, live for what is right, and we need to impact our society for Jesus. Amen? And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about living a life of legacy. We all have an opportunity right now to leave a legacy for our children and the people that will remember us once we pass from this life. And your personal legacy, your personal life, at the end, when it's all said and done, will speak a story to the people that will remember you. Now, this story will be made up of your decisions of how you lived today. How many know we got to live with tomorrow in mind? Amen? But we all have an opportunity to live a legacy. And your personal legacy, your story, will be made up of the decisions that you made today. Now, if you're single this morning, I want to challenge you to live a life of legacy. I want to challenge you to live by faith and live in such a way that you bring honor and glory to God. If you're a parent this morning, I want to challenge you to live a life of legacy. I want to challenge you to live by faith and to live in such a way that your faith will impact your children. And when you go on, they will carry the legacy of faith that will give them the strength necessary to be successful in this life until we make it into heaven. Are you hearing me? I think that as parents, we have a very important role, and there is a heavy responsibility that weighs on our shoulders. So I want to challenge you to live a life of legacy. Now, what I want you to understand about this word legacy is this. The decisions you make today, and this is, if you get anything from this message, this is what I want you to remember. The decisions that you make today can set into motion a series of events that can impact the people around you long after you're gone. The things that you choose to do today can impact and set into motion a series of events that can impact your future and your family's future. Somebody say amen. People who live a life of legacy, they learn from their past, they live in the present, but they build towards their future. Are you hearing me? When we look at the scripture we opened up with, we read about the life of Abraham, who is known as the father of faith. Now, if we did an in-depth study on the life of Abraham, what we would find that his whole life was one act of faith. Now, I chose to speak on Abraham because I love the character of Abraham. Because again, if we did an in-depth study on his life, what we would find, although he is known to be the father of faith, he was a man that constantly struggled and made bad decisions. Abraham lied. Come on, somebody. Abraham put his wife in a very uncomfortable situation. Come on, somebody. If you read his story and you go and you look at who he was, you would find that he wasn't a perfect man. He was simply a man that learned to obey God. He learned to repent and he learned to live by faith. As a result, that faith impacted not only his life, but impacted his children. Hebrews 1:8 tells us, and it gives us a snippet of or a snapshot of his life and the decisions he made. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place that he didn't know, he simply obeyed God. Now, if you read Genesis chapter 12, it's there where God tells Abraham to leave your country, pick up your stuff, and God gave him an order to go to a place that he didn't know. So in this scripture, the Bible is remembering and honoring his decision to obey God even when it didn't make sense. It's one thing to believe in God when everything's going good and when we understand what happens next. It's a whole other thing to believe in God when we don't know what lies ahead. And we serve a God that will sometimes ask you to do certain things before he'll give you the answer. Because it wouldn't be faith if it didn't require you to trust and believe even though you don't know. See, because today we sometimes can have a hollow belief where we say, I believe in God. I trust in the Lord. Everyone believes in God and everyone believes that God exists, but not everyone believes God enough to live out what he says within the Bible. Are you hearing me? But what we want to do is be people of faith. We want to be people that believe God so much that we live out the Bible. The Bible says to go into the highways and byways and tell anybody that is willing to listen about the gospel. The Bible says go into all the world and make disciples. So what do? We're living that out. We had a team that went out yesterday, and they went into the neighborhood. They had a little barbecue, and they ministered the gospel to people within that neighborhood. Are you hearing me? We're going to go out again on Friday, and we're going to go, and we're going to witness to people, and we're going to minister to people. Why? Because we obey the word of God. We don't just think, well, that's a good thought. No, we want to put faith and action behind what we believe, and then it translates to biblical faith. Are you hearing me? So here God asks Abraham to leave, and God gives him a promise that he would make him a great nation. So here Abraham is being asked to leave everything he has ever known and go to a place that God would eventually show him. Now, this is what I need you to understand. Abraham had a choice, either to obey God or stay in the comfort of what he's always known. Now think about that for a second. He said, leave everything you have ever known to go to a place. His decision to trust and follow God, listen to me, it set into motion a series of events that eventually impacted his children, Jacob and Isaac. How many know that our children, they watch the every move we make, right? They watch us, right? I was reading a quote and they said, my dad didn't show me how to do life. He didn't teach me how to do life. He lived life, and I watched him. And as a result, I learned how to live. Our children watch the decisions we make. Here, Abraham made a decision to obey God. The promises of God, listen, in order for you to fulfill the promise of God in your life, it's going to require faith. Faith is a prerequisite for you living out the successful life you've always envisioned. The point I'm trying to get across is this. The decisions you make today can set into motion a series of events that may continue long after you're gone. I'm repeating that for a reason. Listen to me. The decisions that you make today can set into motion a series of events that may continue long after you're gone. And this is the simple point I want to make throughout this message. Your faith will leave an impression on people. If you're a father this morning, your faith will leave an impression on your family. People watch how we live. Now, this is what I love. In Hebrews 11:9 says this. It said that, and even when he reached the land God promised, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Now, this is the key. He lived by faith. He lived by tents. And listen to what it says. And so did Isaac, and so did Jacob. Abraham's decision to follow God made such an impression on Jacob and Isaac, the Bible says that they also lived by faith, and they also received the same inheritance and promise that was given to Abraham. Even after Abraham reached the land that God had given him, the Bible says he lived like a foreigner. In other words, he didn't get comfortable. It's kind of like here in this church. We can't get comfortable because this isn't our building. Right? I believe that the old building, it wasn't the greatest building, but on the inside, I got to say the sanctuary looked nice. We had brand new carpet. But I think God didn't want us to get comfortable, and he allowed to happen what happened. And today, look, we're like going from place to place, amen? But I'm going to know we can't get comfortable. Listen, church, we got to follow the plan of God, and we got to keep our eyes open, because I believe that God wants to give us a church, and right now he's building us. He's building our faith. He's allowing us to go through things, because some of you are going to be the ones to minister and make the ministry operate, and it's going to be through you that we reach more people. So God's building our faith at this moment. See, Abraham with confidence trusted in the Lord. And his children, they noticed their dad was different. They noticed their dad had an eternal focus. See, what you have to understand is this. There's two things that Abraham did for his children. Number one, he taught them to live by faith. He modeled obedience to God. The second thing that he taught his children is he taught his children to have an eternal focus. Listen, fathers, listen, parents, we have to have conversations about heaven in our homes. Your children need to know about heaven because heaven is real. Are you hearing me? He had an eternal focus. It says he was confident when God gave him the promise. God said, this is the land that I'm giving to you. But listen to what the Bible says. Confidently, looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city that was designed and built by God. In other words, Abraham knew, yes, this is the place that God promised me, but my eyes aren't fixed here. I'm looking towards a city that I know one day I'm going to go to, and its architect is God. You and I, we're living right now here on earth, but understand what you do here on earth, listen to me, is gonna fade away. What we're supposed to do here on earth is live out the principles of the Lord, tell as many people as possible about who he is so that they can make it into heaven. Are you hearing me? This is why the Bible says that God, it's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Listen, fathers, your children will follow in your footsteps. Your faith can heavily impact your children in an eternal way. Your choice to live out a godly life will impact your children forever. I read this statistic today on the WACC stat website, and this is what they said. When a mother comes to Christ, her family will join her at church 17% of the time. But when a father comes to Christ, his family joins him 93% of the time. Are you hearing me? Listen, fathers, the decision to follow Christ is today. And I read that today, and immediately I picked up the phone as I was studying, and I called my dad. I called my father today, and I came to the church. I didn't grow up in church. It wasn't like I was a church kid running around. We came from the neighborhood. But I remember it was in the year 1998. My father was in a wheelchair. They told him he'd never walk again. And my father's a man's man. You know, one of those men. He made fun of church people. And I'll never forget that they told him he'd never walk again. And he had a business. And I remember I worked with him since I was 12 years old. So I learned to run the business. So by 18, I was running the business. And I remember the stress that he felt as a father. I remember him feeling like, what am I going to do if I can't walk again? And you know what happened? I had an uncle who ended up going to Victory Outreach Hayward. And that uncle seen my father in despair, seen him in struggle. And he said, hey, Louie, come here. Can you come to my church? Every Tuesday night, we have a prayer meeting. And what I would like to do, we would like to pray for you. I believe God can heal your life. Now you got to remember that my father was a chronic alcoholic for over 30 years. My father and my mother, we came from a broken family. Now my dad had stopped drinking. Everything was going good. He had a business, but now he's in a wheelchair. Now they're telling him he can't walk anymore. And chances are he's going to have surgery, and there's a 60% chance they can fix it, but there was that slight 40 that he wouldn't walk again. So here he goes. He's at his wit's end. He's tired. He doesn't know what to do. How am I going to provide for my family? He goes to this church called Victory Outreach Hayward, and he shows up to a prayer meeting. Now, mind you, my father don't like churches. And he's there, and they laid hands on him, and they prayed for him on a Tuesday. He was supposed to have surgery on Thursday. And I'm just telling you a little bit about my life and what happened. Because there he went on Thursday. They prayed for him. He's going, he's getting ready to be prepared to get operated on. And the doctor comes in and he says, listen, before we go on operation, I want to take one more x-ray. True story. My father's going to be here in a month. I'll let him share the story. And he goes, and then he goes, you're not going to believe this, but the surgery that I thought we had to do, we're not gonna have to do. As a matter of fact, I seen something wrong, and I don't know what happened, but I think we can rehab your leg. We don't have to put you under a knife, and I believe that you can walk again, but it's gonna take some work. So here is my father. He goes to rehab. He's starting to stand up. He's walking again. And he attributes, wait a minute, the God that they serve, the God and the faith that they believe in, they prayed for me. God has to be real. Are you hearing me?
So here we are. Here's our family. My mom had been going to church for a whole year. We didn't go with her. We made fun of her. She would go every Sunday. But now my father said, no, we're going to church. And at that time I was running around. And I told one of my friends, I was having a conversation the other day, and I told them about how I gave my life to the Lord. I went through something very drastic. I was going to move to New York City, and I had went on a trip. And I wasn't a drug addict, I wasn't an alcoholic, but I went through something traumatic. And I remember I went to New York City, and for 17 days, I was high. I had never done anything like that, but I was broken. And for 17 days, I was out there on the streets of New York City. I was high, and I went to New York to look for a place to live. Now I'm going somewhere. I came home on a Saturday night. After 17 days, I was kind of spun out of my mind. I got home Saturday. I went to a club. I came back at 6 in the morning on Sunday. But guess what? My father had put his foot down. He had had enough of us kids running around. And I'll never forget, he turned on my light at 8 in the morning. He said, get up. I said, what are you talking about? I just got home. Get up. He said, get up or pack your bags. You're coming to church. If you live in my house, you will come to church with us. Now, I went. I didn't have nowhere to go, amen? And I remember I went to church that day. And Pastor Steve Pineda was preaching the gospel about a new life. He was telling the church how God can heal your broken heart. He was telling the church how there is a new way of life and God could restore families. I don't remember what happened, but I remembered at the end of the message, he said, every head bowed, every eye closed. And he said, if you're here this morning and your heart is broken, I want to pray for you. If that's you, lift your hand, quickly put it down. He said, I'm going to ask you to do a second thing. He said, come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. Sound like anybody? Now you know where I get it from. And I'll never forget, I stood in my chair. I was already broken. My heart was broken. I had been through something traumatic. And I remember I went to that altar, and I just put my head down. And I don't remember what happened, but somebody laid hands on me, and I started crying. And that day, in 1999, I gave my heart to Jesus. Are you hearing me? Now, my father wasn't a perfect man, and for about a year, he went to church, but I was skeptical. I would watch him. I said, how long is this going to last? Come on, somebody. Some of your family. Oh, you go to church? Well, how long is this going to last? Listen, you stay faithful. You live life to the fullest. You trust in your God. You believe. You don't have to go and tell everybody about what God's doing in your life. Live in such a way that they can see it. Preach all day long. Use words if you have to. Are you hearing me? I got uncles till this day. They're like, oh, I give it 2 more weeks. Brother, it's been 20 years. It'll be 20 years in December, amen? 20 years. And my family used to watch, how long was this going to last? It was a year, 2 years. Now, I wasn't perfect. My father wasn't perfect. The point I'm trying to make is this. My father made a decision to follow Almighty God. He wasn't perfect, but he said, in my house, we're going to do things different. And we used to give him guilt trips. He would slip up and cuss every now and then, and we'd be like, does Jesus talk like that? He said, shut up, I'm your dad. I can still kick you out. Amen. He said, God will forgive me later. The point I'm trying to get across is this. And this is what I told him. I bring all this up to say this. Remember what I told you. If you remember anything, the decisions that you make today can set into motion series of events that can impact the people around you long. I told my father today, and I felt like I needed to tell him. I don't know what he was going through. And I said, Dad, as I'm putting my message together, I want to remind you that the decision that you made eternally impacted our family. I said, Dad, today I'm a pastor of a church in Tacoma, and the people here have a pastor because you stood up as a father and said, we will serve the Lord together. Listen, father, listen, mother, I don't know where you're at right now, but you make the decision. Because little do we know that in 15 years from now, you might get the same phone call. Dad, I want to thank you because today I'm in Detroit and I'm pastoring a Victory Outreach Church because you taught me the way. Dad, I want to let you know that I'm pastoring in Boston because you gave your life to the Lord. Mom, I want you to know that today I'm a missionary in Brazil because you taught me to pray. Dad, I want you to know that today I'm an evangelist in the Philippines because you taught me to love people. Are you hearing me? What we do matters as a church. I don't want you to get caught up in size. I don't want you to get caught up in the drama. What I want you to focus on is on the Lord. I want you to focus on grace. I want you to focus on the very thing that caused God to die on the cross. That was his passion to forgive, save, and seek the lost. Are you hearing me? We have to model what it looks like to live by faith, because faith is an action word. We must demonstrate what it looks like to live by faith. Abraham's kids watched how he lived. True faith, listen to me, takes action. The old days of do what I do, right, or do as I say, not as I do, those days are gone. Our kids nowadays are headstrong. They'll listen to us for a season, but they'll walk away from us in time because everything we said, listen to me, everything we said was false. Are you hearing me? Our children will live out what they see, not what we say. Psalms 145:4 says this, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Our children, they watch our lives. And listen to me. One day, they will speak of the things you did and tell many people. Yes, this scripture is talking about God, but the scripture is saying that basically generations will talk about what God did. Listen, generations, if you live your life according to God's will, they will talk about the things that you did in years to come. The greatest thing that we can install within this generation is faith. Someone say faith. Now what is faith? And this is where I'll be closing. Hebrews 11:1 says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The NIV says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. See, faith speaks of our hope in God and what we believe he is able to do. Are you hearing me? That's what true faith is. When we believe in God and we believe he is able to do what he said he would do. And this is God's desire, that our hope live in him and that we remain certain that he is able at all times. The Bible says this is what the ancients were commended for. The men that we read about in the Bible, they were commended for being obedient and trusting the Word of God. See, faith is the foundation of our walk. When we believe that He is and that He's able to do anything, we will walk in godly confidence. Listen, church. This morning as I was preparing, the Lord was reminding me of a promise that he gave me years ago. And I want you to think about this for a second. Years ago, I want to say close to 18 years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I'll never forget, he said, he told very clearly, I was wrestling with God, God, what did you call me to do? I knew that he had called me to pastor, but I just, and he was giving me, he gave me this very clearly. He said, one of the things that I would do when I'm finally walking in my calling, he made it very clear, Eric, you're going to help father the fatherless. I remember him telling me, you have to develop a heart to father this generation. And the scripture he gave me was Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows is God in his holy dwelling. And the Lord made it very clear to me back then. I was new. I knew he had called me to pastor. But he made it very clear that we, listen to me, and I say this to this church, because if you're in this church, part of your DNA will eventually be to father the fatherless. I believe from this church, we will father this generation. I believe God wants to raise up Pauls that will look for Timothys and disciple them, love them, care for them, and pray for them throughout their life. What's heavy about that scripture is today, is that if we truly did an in-depth look at our church now, God's already bringing those men in. God's bringing those men in. Many of you would be able to testify, listen, my father wasn't around. But isn't it interesting that this is the promise that he's given to this church? And there's something inside of you that's going to have the heart to go after the fatherless. We're going to look and we're going to father this generation. We are going to model what it looks like to be a godly man, a godly woman. Listen, we will parent this generation through God's love. Now, we as a church, and even parents, listen to me. We have to remember that we must be intentional about what we teach our kids. One of the first things you need to teach your children, teach them to pray before making decisions. We're living in a day and age where people lean on their emotions and just make a decision based off how they feel. We got to teach our children to pray. When they throw a tantrum at the store, come on somebody, pray for your toy. Come on now. Sister Jessica's no joke. She does things like that to my kids. I want candy. Pray about it. Come on somebody. Huh? I already bought the candy, and if they act right, I'm going to give it to them, but I'm going to teach them to pray. Those things are funny, but they translate in an eternal way if you play your cards right. As a parent, you have to be intentional about teaching your kids to pray before they make decisions. Just because a job opportunity came, teach them to pray before taking that job, because not every door that opens is from the Lord. The second thing we need to teach our children to do, we have to teach them to wait on God patiently. Teach them that sometimes they're just going to have to stand and believe God for the impossible. And the third thing we need to teach our children at a young age, we need to teach them at a young age to say yes to God even when things don't make sense. Here, listen to me, our kids need to know that our Father is real. This is the responsibility of a parent. Deuteronomy 6:5 reminds us of this promise. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when they sit at your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. See, living a life of faith starts with loving God with all our heart. When we love God with all our heart, listen, everything else will come, not with ease, but it will come naturally. Because when you love God with all your heart, naturally, your heart will want to please Him. And it teaches us to live in grace. The faith that we have today can be strengthened. And I don't know where you're at this morning. Some may have great faith, some may have weak faith. Some may have middle ground faith. No matter what size faith you have, the Bible tells us that God has given us a measure of faith. And God can use your faith to impact the people around you. Are you hearing me this morning? Because Abraham lived by faith, so did his children. Because Abraham lived by faith, listen to me, his children inherited the promises of God. Hebrews 1:11-9, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to the city of eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God.
We have to be people that teach our children to look towards heaven, because you live life differently when you have an eternal focus. If we don't learn to think about heaven, we'll do whatever we want here on earth. But we got to teach and model for our children now. Listen, church, this church, we're going to father and parent this generation, but we got to let God build our faith. And like Abraham, we're going to model, and as a result, the people that we work with will naturally follow in our footsteps, because what they see is not mere man, but they see the love of God through man. Are you hearing me? This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We serve a good Father this morning. And this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning I simply want to pray for those of you that are here with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray for those of you that are here that say, I want my faith to grow. I want to live by faith. I want to believe. I want to live in such a way that my faith impacts the people around me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, lift your hand and quickly put it down. I simply want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. 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 If you're here this morning and you're battling with thoughts like, I'm not good enough, or I have problems, this morning I want to pray for you, because you are good enough. He died for you. But if you battle with any sort of guilt, I feel led to pray for that this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you battle with guilt, lift your hand and quickly put it down. I simply want to pray for you. God bless 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 you. And then I also want to pray for the fathers this morning. I want to pray, if you need strength this morning to lead your household, lift your hand and quickly put it down. I want to pray for you this morning. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do, if you lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you to simply slip out of your seat. I want to pray for you. Together we're going to pray. We're going to pray God to strengthen our faith. Come on, don't be shy this morning. Between you and the Lord, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for your family. Come on, close your eyes. Even when I don't. Come on, focus on Jesus. Come on, focus on Him. Your way. Father, we love you.
That is who you are.
Father, we love you, Jesus.
That is who.
Listen, this morning I'm going to say two prayers. The first prayer that I want to pray, I want to pray for those of you that are here that say, I need God to forgive me. In order for guilt to pass, forgiveness needs to be evident. And this morning you need to know that God died for you, that He loves you, and that there is no guilt that should be hanging over your head. And this morning, if you say, I need God to forgive me of my sins, I want to live in freedom. If that's you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, the answer is in Jesus. If you say, I want to make Him Lord over my life, I want Him to guide my life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, would you please forgive me of all of my sins? I know that the power of forgiveness lives in you. I know you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Through the Father, you were sent on earth. You died a gruesome death, but you arose on the third day. You have power over guilt. You have power over shame. And this morning I ask you to guide me. Set me free so that I can walk in liberty. I want you to be Lord over my life. I want to live a new life. Will you teach me your ways? Bring people around me that will support me so that I may live the way that you want me to. Jesus, I'm sorry. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Secondly, I want to pray for those of you that are here that you have a heart to love on the broken people of the world. If your heart hurts for people and you want God to use your life to mend broken lives, if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, use my life. I want to help mend broken people. I don't have all the answers, but I know this, that you have the power to make people whole again. Would you make me whole? Would you teach me your ways? Would you use my mouth, my mind, and my heart to reach the lost? I want to be the answer, and I want to preach your goodness. Teach me to live in such a way that will impact the people around me. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for all that you did this morning. Lord, I ask that you would build us up so that we can help father this generation. Raise up disciplers, raise up leaders, raise up pure-hearted, courageous leaders that have the heart to work with people. Father, continue to work on me. And together through this church, Father, we ask that you would do your work, do your will. Father, we thank you for what you did here this morning. Father, we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen.